Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Industry. I'm your host, Sam Mason. This month, we shine our spotlight on Nokomo Industries in Maryville, Missouri. Nokomo is what's called a sheltered workshop. It's a place where developmentally challenged people from Nottoway County can be employed in a productive environment. In the process, they gain self-sufficiency, social skills, and camaraderie with others while giving back to their community. I had a chance to sit down with General Manager Nikki Sampson to learn about this special place and its workforce. A little later, we'll tour the facility and learn about the work they perform, so stick around as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development. Coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at maryvillemo.org. And from Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park provides Nottoway County residents and visitors with an 18-hole golf course, driving range, and a 9-hole junior course coming 2015. More on Mazingo's golf offerings is at mazingolake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, healthcare, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org. Support for KAXCV KRNW comes from SSM Health Medical Group, offering patients 10 locations and access to 46 primary care providers and specialists associated with St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. More information is available at ssmhealthstfrancis.com/locations.
Once again, good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Industry. The month of October is National Disability Employment Awareness Month. In fact, 2015 marks the 70th anniversary of the observance, so we thought it would be a perfect time to shine our spotlight on Nokomo Industries in Maryville. Nokomo is a sheltered workshop. Simply put, it's a very unique company that solely employs developmentally disabled people as its workforce. They perform tasks that include separating paper forms, sorting gloves, assembling packaging, processing recycling materials, and building wooden pallets. These are just a few of the tasks they were performing on the day we visited. Each day brings something different. I sat down with Maryville native and general manager Nikki Sampson to learn more. Nikki, welcome to Spotlight on Industry.
Thank you, Sam. Nice to be here.
So, Nikki, let me lead this off by asking the simple question, what is a sheltered workshop?
A sheltered workshop in Missouri is actually an employer. It is not a program. It's a place where people that cannot be successful in competitive employment can come and have dignified employment based on their disabilities, what gets them through the door, but we focus on their abilities to do work that we give back to our community and they are successful at based on their skill level.
And so tell us a little bit about this particular workshop and what your mission is.
Every shop in Missouri, and there's 90 of them, are businesses of their own. They are a not-for-profit business, and we have the similar mission, but we all operate in a different realm as far as what we do with each employee based on their skill sets. Our particular mission state for Nokomo Industries is that we provide a clean, safe work environment for developmentally challenged citizens where they can be productively employed. They will gain self-sufficiency, socialization skills, and camaraderie through this employment while giving back to the community through their work.
And I'm sure that people are going to wonder, how many employees do you have here at Nokomo?
We range from 45 to 50, given the time of the year. We have some come on and work summers. We have some that don't work maybe a couple months during the cold winter times, but we average between 45 and 50 year round.
And do people tend to stay for quite a long period of time, or do you have people who have been here for 5, 10, 15 years?
We're very diverse. We have people, let me just put it in a nutshell, we have people that range from age 16 to late 60s, people that have attended state schools and never formally attended public or private learning institutions, to people with college educations, college graduates, if you will. And we have people that have worked here from just starting a couple of weeks ago. I've had some new hires to people that's worked here well over 30 years.
So what are the requirements for someone to work at Nokomo other than having a documented disability? Do they have to be a Nottoway County resident? And I guess what constitutes a documented disability?
That's an interesting question and a question we get quite a bit. First of all, we're an employer. We are not a program. There's only two states in the United States that are employer, which are called industrial models. The rest of the states are programs and are paid through Medicaid. As an employer, we cannot certify someone and tell them that they are certified with a disability. What we have to do is we have to collect documentation, as you mentioned, that says that they are documented with a type of disability, and it can be a wide range of disabilities, that keeps them from being able to work out in a competitive market like you and I in a competitive marketplace. We gather this documentation and then we send it in and we have people review it. We send it in at the state level to individuals that are certifiers, if you will, and they determine that, yes, this person would benefit from a sheltered employment environment. That's where the word sheltered employment comes from, that they have worked in competitive employment or don't have the skills to go out and, you know, and work in competitive employment at that time or maybe ever. And then they determine that they are disabled and a sheltered employment would be a successful environment for them to be employed.
And before we talk about the type of work that your employees do, let's talk just a little bit about the history of Nokomo. How long has Nokomo been in existence?
We've been in existence since 1973. It started with some individuals here in Maryville, primarily Nottoway County, if you will, and some of the smaller towns that, around us that are also still in Nottoway County, of businessmen and family members, and just a group of individuals that wanted something for folks with disabilities to be employed, but to be employed where they could work at their level, because they were not people that could go out and work in the community and be competitive employed and retain a job and be successful. And so it developed at that time. Simultaneously at the time in the late 60s, there was a lot of legislation, things going on at the county, state, and federal level, focusing on folks with disability and inclusion and getting people involved. And it kind of matched as far as a marriage, if you will. At that time, they called the SB 40. Senate Bill 40 was passed. And what that was is for our purpose, it's Nottoway County tax dollars that people will see on their tax bills that was passed several years ago saying that those monies would be gathered and used for people with disabilities to offset some of their skills and employment and just a variety of different things. Today, as it's involved, is we receive 80% of the SB 40 tax dollars that are collected. And what those SB 40 dollars are used for is not to directly pay the people. For instance, Nokomo Industries, if there were no Nokomo Industries, say that for whatever reason, which God willing, and that would never happen, but say there was no more Nokomo Industries. We operate the building and we maintain the building, us as Nokomo Industries, as a private, not-for-profit business, but this would all belong to Nottoway County. We also, during this time, through the legislative things I mentioned, we ended up under Department of Elementary Education, Special Education, or known acronym MODESE. And they govern us, and they actually see if we're a proper agent of the state, which means we have to follow all of the OSHA, all the Department of Labor, all of the federal, state, county, as well as disability rules and regulations set forth. And there's quite a bit that goes into running a Missouri workshop, and the fact that for prevailing wage and for industrial standard and time studies and things that wouldn't make a lot of sense to you, would take quite a bit of time. But what it all amounts to is that we pay the people 100% based on their abilities of what they can do. Of 100% of the time, we have to know where they are, what they're doing, and at what ability they can do it. And that way it makes it a fair, competitive job where the only person they can compete against is themselves, when I say competitive, but they're paid up for 100% of their skills.
Tell me, how long have you been with Nokomo Industries? Because what, as I understand, when you first came here, things were a little rough.
Rough would be a good word, and we'll leave it at that. Okay. Nokomo had some great successes through the years. I'll be honest with you. I was always very impressed with the fact that they were an employer and employed a lot of individuals in the community. I was not a stranger to that. I was born and raised in Maryville, was blessed to have the opportunity to start working Special Olympics when I was just 12 years old with Martha Blackter, was an original founder of Nokomo Industries, and her son was one of the first three employees that worked down here and had Down syndrome, also a family friend for years and years and years. So she exposed me to it. So I wasn't a stranger to Nokomo, but I'd lost touch with it. I had moved out of Maryville, lived in a couple different states, was back in the area when their longtime manager, and there's been a few managers through the years, but had been here for approximately 34 years, was retiring. And so actually when I came on, and that's a different broadcast, a different story on how I actually ended up here, I did want to help out. I ended up being the general manager. And at the time, things had kind of slipped away from the mission and kind of not pointing fingers at anybody, but kind of lost sight of who and what Nokomo really is and who we work for, which is are the folks that come here every day. This is their place. And so to basically kind of close down on that, not elaborate a lot, it was in a mandated correction plan from the state on the verge of being closed down.
Okay. Well, excellent that it's been resurrected and it's going strong.
We have been extremely blessed. Give thanks to God first. It was a time of separating, if you will, and it's not to be sarcastic or disrespectful, but it was a time of separating the contenders from some of the pretenders. Mm-hmm. And to focus and to really think about why there is a Nokomo Industries, what a Missouri workshop is and what it should be. And that's been a great deal of what I've done. You asked me when I came here. I came here in July of 2010. At the time, for the first two or three months, I'm going to be very honest with you, there were not monies to make payroll. Mm-hmm. It was a very stressful situation, but as I mentioned, giving thanks to God, I am a grant writer. We were able to write some grants. Some good people stepped up to be on the board of directors. Some good people remained on the board of directors. We refocused. We've been able to grow. And I'm happy to say that our debt to asset ratio is incredibly impressive at this point. We're very blessed and we're in the best financial, and I would like to think the best shape in every entity that Nokomo's ever been. And I give thanks to God for that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the type of work that your employees do and where does that work come from?
That's another finger on my hand, if you will. It is primarily my responsibility as the general manager to find contract work, to maintain contract work that was here when I got here, to adapt the work as far as being able to perform the work task to meet the skills of our folks. So it's a bit of a juggling act in the fact that everyone knows that just because you're not for profit doesn't mean that you don't have to generate some revenue. Mm-hmm. So I've got to find work that fits our folks' skills. And as we find work, we've got to find folks that have skills to meet the work demand. So that's a continuous juggling act. We've also got to be able to build in some profit margin there. So a misconception is if a workshop does it, it's lesser quality. That is so far from the truth. So continuously I'm out talking with people, having meetings, letting people know what we do and what we can do. Every shop, there's 90 in the state of Missouri, do different tasks based on where they are. We're very blessed to have a lot of industrial opportunities here. I always tell people, we have three fingers on our hand as far as what we do. We do recycling, we do custom building of pallets and crates, and we do package assembly and sorting. Under those three fingers, there's a minimum of 75 to 100 different jobs we do on an annual basis.
And are there other skilled labor that you have here working for Nokomo Industries?
The different labor that we have here is classified into two categories. And they're referred to as staff, which are folks like you and I that can work out in competitive employment, and there's actually just five of us. And then there's the certified employees. We are to work alongside and help and mentor and make sure, number one, that everybody here is healthy and safe, the environment, and to help with those. But we're also to make sure that they have the correct training to do the skills. But the certified employees are actually the ones that are to do the work. We are to supervise the work. That does not mean that we don't help them, assist them, and work right alongside them. Sometimes everybody comes with a different skill set, and some people just need that to know that somebody's right there with them and to watch how they're doing it. And we do that for short periods of time. But the majority of the work and the goal is that the folks with the disabilities or certified employees are the ones actually doing the work, and we're supervising it and getting them their materials so that they can complete the task.
Do you have to staff each day based on the work that you have planned for that day or for the week? Or is it a situation where if people show up, we'll find something for you to do on that day?
We're blessed to be in a situation that we have a lot of work. We have a lot of work. We pretty much know, and we have timelines of when these works need to be done, just like any other. I always tell people, and it's not to say because we're not that size or that we're not them, but we're a good comparison to like Kawasaki or Deluxe or any other plant here in town. We have a forecast of what needs to be done that we have to check every day. We can't miss a deadline because, quite honestly, the work that we do for a lot of the industrial, we could shut down lines. If we didn't do our part, they couldn't do their part. And that just cannot happen. So, yes, we have a forecast of what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. So, we have to watch that very closely. The other thing is, and that's been a change since I've been here, is it's very important that the people that we employ, those being the certified employees that are doing the work, that they are like you and I. They have to come to work every day. Now, if they're ill or if they need a vacation, those things are completely acceptable and understandable. But just deciding whether you're going to come that day or not come that day, or one of the big things we had when we first got here was, please make appointments after work hours. We work a maximum of 29 hours a week, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 2:30, and Fridays 8 to 1:30. So we do know that, for instance, doctor's appointments can be made after 2:30. And when I first got here, it was amusing, but it was very frustrating because we just had people coming and going at just any time, and you cannot get the work done. I can't imagine any other business being able to operate and stay in business and operate that way. So that's been a little bit of a change, is to educate people. No, we're a real business. These are real employees, and they're treated as such, and the attendance is as important as yours and mine.
Let's talk a little bit about your recycling. I know you mentioned you have a large recycling operation here, and I think that's something that's always interesting to people in certainly Nottoway County and Maryville, since we don't have curbside recycling. I think people oftentimes, they want to recycle, but they don't know where they can go to drop off those items. So tell us a little bit about your recycling program.
That's been something that we've really grown, and I thank you for asking about that, because I'm so proud of our employees. I have a tagline that I say, and I want to share this, and then I'll answer the question. But I always say that I'm the only employer in town that gets 100% out of every one of my employees 100% of the time. And that one of the things we decided to do was grow our recycling because it fits a lot of different skill levels, and it was a big need of the community. And referring back to our mission statement, it said that we will give back to our community through our work, and we do get that SB 40 monies, and we thought, this is something the community wants to do, and we've got the hands to do it. So one of the first things that I was able to do when I got here was expand the recycling area. And we run 4 balers all the time now. We've expanded where we take cardboard, any grade of paper, plastics 1 through 7, tin, and aluminum. And so we also have gone to where we leave bins out at the northwest corner of our building. And people can drop off any of those products 24/7 at their convenience. and then we like them to bag them if they're able, and then we'll sort them and run them through a sort line. We were fortunate enough to receive one of the grants we got. We were able to put in a couple of sort lines, buy some equipment. We bought a skid loader and several things. And so our recycling entity of our business is not only is it impressive, it's feel good as well too, because we're giving back not only for work for the folks that need the jobs, but we're also giving back to our community as we said we would in a great way. We get thanked for our recycling several times a week that we offer this to the community, and it's pretty exciting. The volume on our recycling is not a cash cow, if you will. The market's very, very unsteady, unknown, and that's for any product. But it's still a way that we can get back to the community, keep the people working, and maintain a cash flow of some sort at some level. So I appreciate you asking about the recycling, because that's been a big growth area of ours.
And that's purely a drop-off recycling. You're not buying aluminum cans from people that want to drop them off, or are you buying aluminum from...
We do not purchase any recycling materials. As I mentioned, because of the market being so unknown, there were times when I got here where they had a place where they used to, and they were buying them for more than they were selling them for. You can't do that for very long and still be here to do that. So we take them as donations, and I always tell people it offsets our expenses. We work with brokers to book. We have to sell a minimum of 42,000 pounds a truckload when we bring a truck out of here, so we have to book trucks. It gets a little more complicated and detailed than meets the eye sometimes. We also partner with every trash hauler here in town, where they have a key to our gate and they drop off recyclables for us. So whoever your trash hauler may be, you may not be aware of it, but you can recycle, because they've all pretty much committed to that they will do that. It offsets their cost for the landfills for dumping it. It keeps it out of the landfill. It provides work for our folks, and it allows you to be a recycling participant if that's your desire. And it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, that's excellent. And is that recycling open to anybody within Nottoway County or outside Nottoway County? Anyone can come in and drop off,
yes,
recycle
sir. Materials? Yes, and we actually, some of our trash haulers work with outside of Nottoway County, and they will bring us truckloads that they have picked up in smaller communities that may not necessarily sit in Nottoway County. And we appreciate the contribution and the partnership. We don't set ourselves just, yes, we work in Nottoway County, we live in Nottoway County, but we do not limit ourselves to some of the smaller communities around here and other areas that do not necessarily land here in Nottoway County. We do contract work for even other states. So we are not just solely focused on just Nottoway County for anything that we do here.
So I suppose our listeners could contact their local trash hauler to find out what steps they would need to make to sort out or separate their recyclable materials from their trash, and perhaps their trash hauler will pick that up and drop it off here to you.
That would be the first step I would take. The other is, I know there's a lot of people that like to kind of control their recycling themselves. And that's the reason that we put the bins down in the northwest corner, was so that as they accumulate, because they don't want a small bag of each thing each week, and then so they accumulate and bring down themselves. And we're located down at 319 South Newton, so that's also an option. But I would recommend that if you want to save yourself convenience, to talk with your local hauler and ask if they are participating and what their method of collection would be.
Okay. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to take a tour of your facility. We're looking forward to seeing your recycle operation and the work that your employees are doing. So in closing, let me first say thank you for being a guest on the show. And what's the final thing that you would like for our listeners to know about Nokomo Industries?
Well, I would like to say thank you for having me. And I'm excited. Anytime I can get you out on the floor or involved with our folks is much, much more important than my having a conversation with you in my eyes. I like to show off my employees. I would put my employees up against any employees anywhere in the United States. I've got a great group of people, and I'm blessed to be able to work with them, and that's my certified and my staff and my board of directors. I'd like to thank them. But in closing, I'd like to remind everybody that sheltered employment does not mean, and I say this full-heartedly, does not mean that the folks do not contribute and have skills. It does not mean that they are not smart. It means that the skill set that they have is a way they can contribute, and it challenges me as a manager, and I'd like to challenge everybody else to stop and think about everybody possesses a different skill set. God doesn't make mistakes. A Missouri Sheltered Workshop is a place where people with their skill set can be a productive, giving part of the community where they go to work every day, just like you and I do. They earn a paycheck, and they're people just like you and I. They're working folks, and just take a minute each day to be thankful that we have a place here in Maryville for those people where they can be successful. And thank you for contributing to any and everybody that does Nakoma Industries. We're always open for anyone to come down and tour and find out a little bit more about us.
Well, that's excellent. Nikki, thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Nikki Sampson, General Manager of Nakoma Industries in Maryville. Most of the work they perform comes from local manufacturers. These companies rely on Nakoma to deliver on time just like they do their other vendors. They're held to the same standards as everyone else. Just like any supply chain, it's only as strong as its weakest length. Nikki and her staff do an amazing job of keeping the workflow moving while encouraging and nurturing the employees. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, Nikki will lead us on a tour of this surprisingly large operation. Stick around.
Support for Spotlight on Industry on KXCV KRNW comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, coordinating economic development services for the City of Maryville, Nottoway County, and the Maryville Industrial Development Corporation. Their services include finance and incentives development, site location, industrial development, and small business assistance. More at maryvillemo.org. And from Mazinga Lake Recreation Park, the park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. Mazinga Lake also offers boating, fishing, hiking, and equestrian trails. More information about Mazinga is at mazingalake.com. Support also comes from the City of Maryville, Missouri, offering residents and visitors opportunities in education, employment, healthcare, and recreation, as well as agricultural, industrial, retail, and professional services. More information about the City of Maryville is at www.maryville.org. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from SSM Health Medical Group, offering patients 10 locations and access to 46 primary care providers and specialists associated with St. Francis Hospital in Maryville. More information is available at ssmhealthstfrancis.com/locations.
When entering Nakoma's facility, the first thing that surprised me was how busy it was. The employees enjoy their work, the camaraderie, and the sense of purpose it gives them. It's a very brightly lit, clean, and organized environment. The workspaces are laid out according to the skill level of the employees. Separating paper forms doesn't require as much skill as running a fork truck or building pallets. With that being said, each employee is assigned to a room that fits their skill level and disability. By doing so, each person has the ability to be successful in their work. The first room we entered had a number of employees separating rolls of paper. These are paper forms that come from Deluxe Corporation in Maryville. In their process, they print business forms that are wound around a PVC core. Those forms that are closest to the core are unusable for business purposes, but the paper is certainly recyclable. Of course, it can't be recycled as long as it's on the core. The employees unspool the forms and put them into recycle bins to be baled and shipped.
The first room that we're in is our production room A. Everything we do at Nakoma has a recycling basis to it, if you will, and I'll kind of explain that as we go on. In this particular room, we have it divided into a couple of different work shifts. You can see a large number of people working in here. What we do is these are called end rolls that we get from Deluxe, and we take the paper off the end rolls, and then those are the cores. It's the center of them, and those have to be cleaned, and they're reused so that they would not be thrown away. They can reuse them again. So we make a trip out to Deluxe at least once every day. We make the cores for them. We also clean the cores for them and recycle the end rolls of the paper to eliminate it from going to the landfill. Also, at this end down here, we are where gloves used to be worn and then thrown away after they were dirty and used or maybe torn or tattered. We have different companies that we work with, and they have those washed at a different location and sent in to us. And we sort the bags, and we pair them back up in groups of 6 or 12 or depending whatever the company wants us to do. And while we were pairing them, we're sorting them too. So at work, at the different places, they just tell the workers, when you're done with your gloves, please throw them in the dirty clothes bin. They're washed, brought to us. We sort them. If they're worn and cannot be used, then they're separated out. The ones that are good and can be used are repackaged and sent back out, and they reuse them again. And that is a great savings where they used to all be just thrown away.
Sure.
So that's what's going on in Production Room A. In Production Room B, we do most of our package assembly and sorting in this room. It's kind of a multi-purpose room. So we're right here where things are sent in flat in cardboard boxes. We're assembling them, send them to local companies so that they can put their product in and then send them out to their customers. And this room's changed out. We can be doing anybody's work. We work with Kawasaki, we work with Deluxe, we work with Moog, we work with some with Laclede. I don't want to leave anybody out. We work with the wool shop. We work with some companies up in Iowa doing pallets. We work with, there really is not a business in town that we haven't done something for at some point that I can think of. So that's Production Room A and B. This is Production Room C. And it is where we can cut the larger cores. We have people over here cutting the larger cores because, as you can see, some of them are very, very large. We've got them in different parts of the room. Where a person, we either have to cut them on the cutters or even hand cut them to get them down to a more manageable size for Production Room A to use them. So it's definitely a flow that we have here. It comes into here, and then we get them so that we can do there. We get the cores cleaned and back out to Lux, and it starts all over again.
And these cores, are they PVC pipe? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes, they're PVC pipe that are notched to the specs that work on their particular printers and presses. And there's several different sizes. We have bins out here that, as they're cleaned, they're put in, and we return those bins when they're full or when they need them. And we're very blessed to have that work. We've got good paper. We know exactly. Our brokers know exactly. They're getting 100% of exactly what we're selling them as far as product. This is our horizontal baler. This is a tipper. And when it's full of product that we're running for that day, it tips it up in there, runs down, and then it becomes a very large bale, and I'll show you that. So that's Production A, B, and C, and we're going to go to Upper Warehouse now. One thing that I get a comment on a lot is, wow, you're really busy as you look around and you see several people just doing their thing like you would at any other employer, and two, this place is much bigger than it appears from the outside. In the upper warehouse, the horizontal baler dumps out into the upper warehouse, and then we have three other balers that we run down here, and you can see an individual leaving right now. Those are the Gaylords that I had mentioned in the northwest corners. We have people come and go all day and all night long filling up our different product. So anyhow, in Production Room C, he dumps out down into here. The horizontal baler runs all products that we run. We primarily reserve these that are called vertical balers. We primarily reserve those just for cardboard. We can run any other product in there, but we primarily reserve this for cardboard and let the horizontal take care of the rest of it. Just to the east of the balers, you'll see our sort line that I mentioned earlier, the second sort line we put in. And it actually gets fed from the lower warehouse, but product comes up here. We have individuals that sorts out the product so that we can know if we're baling cardboard, plastic, tin, whatever it is that we're baling goes into the right container, and the container can be brought to the baler in which it's going to bale. So it's just a little factory just continuously on the move.
It really is surprising how busy it is.
Yes,
it's and
very
industrial.
Busy. Yes, it is. And people, that's why in my closing comments about what I'd like to say is I really would encourage people to come down and see who we are and what we do. A great deal of my time in the last 5 years, a little over 5 years now, has been spent to educate the community, not because they were ignorant, because I don't know that they've ever had the opportunity or really understood. We are a real business doing real work. We weigh all of our bales when they're taken out of the baler and complete, so every broker knows that they're getting exactly what we told them they'd be getting. So,
you'd like to follow me, we can go down to our lower warehouse. I apologize for the noise. We found that the music is very much appreciated by our employees here. So we play music, and I always tell people, we work hard and we play hard. So. Here's our skid loader that I mentioned, and what he does is, and this too is a certified employee, he runs that skid loader all day long, and this is a product that's been brought in from different haulers throughout the community, and it's just a continuous wheel. They dump here at their convenience. We don't have to be here, and we just pick it up, put it in there, sort it out, bale it, and sell it.
And I'm seeing there's a little bit of everything in there. I'm seeing cardboard boxes. I'm seeing a little plastic mixed in. I'm seeing what I'm sure is garbage mixed there, in that shouldn't be, but it's there.
And unfortunately, the garbage is pretty much to a minimum. Our haulers really do a pretty good job. And I'm thankful to the community because, that's why I'd like to make it known and talk to your haulers and let them know. Nobody wants to go through your trash. And the haulers do a pretty good job letting people know, hey, this is what this is for and this is what this is. So we're pretty blessed in the fact where, you know, we talked earlier about when I first got here, we had a thrift store. And my board president, Dave Lawyer, made the comment publicly, we are closing the East End dump. And so we are really monitoring that very quickly and closely, and we'll nix it pretty quickly if need be. We're not going to be going through your trash. So we do appreciate it. We get a lot of good product, and everybody's been very respectful of that.
So considering the number of things you take, maybe it's better to talk about the things that you don't take or you can't take.
Well, I'll tell you what's probably been the hardest product to educate people on, if you will, and that's been the plastics. If it does not have a number 1 through 7, we can't take it. We can't take it. Yes, there's a lot of items made out of plastic. I can't even begin to tell you how many grades of plastic there are out there. And when you sell them to brokers, certain grades are used for something else. And the 1 through 7s we bail together, we do not sort them. That's all we can take. So we've had people that have occasionally dropped off siding. You know, they wanted to be a good contributor. We cannot take siding. Siding is not a 1 through 7. We cannot take old television cases and things. Those are all a different type of plastic. We primarily take a lot of water bottles, milk jugs, you know, the box that your cat litter might come in. But they have to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7, or it does not meet the grade that we take.
Good. That's good to know.
We do also take tin cans, and that's something that I've been trying to educate people on, like your vegetables, fruits and vegetables and things you buy at the store. That's another grade that we picked up, is we do take all the tin cans so people can start, because those are, you know, will not, they will not degrade in the landfill, and they can really cause some problems over time, as far as if you throw a lot of tin in an area for quite a time, you run out of space and it kills our environment. And so we really are encouraging people to donate their tin as well.
Now, one thing that I don't see, and I think that must be hard to recycle, is glass. Any plans to start taking glass in the future?
We do not take glass, and a lot of people say because there's no money in it. There's a lot of product that's out here that I would say are really no money type products as a community service. But glass, with the folks that we work with and the system it is to recycle, glass cuts. We're going to stay away from glass. We've had the opportunity. We are just going to stay away from glass. One, if you've looked around, we are pretty full here. The only other than this lower warehouse is our outer lot, and that's where we put some of our pallets and things because we build for people. We have contracts, and we have to have so many in stock for them at any given time. We are really, at this point, kind of busting at the seams. And so we're not going to add any more grades at this time. And glass definitely is not something that's in our forecast. It's just a good way to possibly get somebody injured. And we really don't have any real good place to do it. So
that's good to know, so that if people are going to contact their trash haulers to make sure that they don't include glass.
Yes, please. It's just too dangerous for it. With glass, the only way you can recycle glass and make it, because of being, you know, it takes up so much space, is you have to crush that glass. And glass doesn't always just crush immediately, and it causes sharp, you know, pieces and things. And we're just going to stay away from it. We just don't think it's a good fit for our folks.
And here I see a pallet of what will eventually become cores.
Yes.
For the paper rolls that we saw earlier.
Yes, those are 10 foot length. I believe these particular ones are 10 foot, 10 or 12 foot, and we will cut those down for all different size cores. You know, it's really nice to be able to, we have work for as far out as I can see. And it's not just for our folks, you know, we are really want to be a community partner, and it really, it's a nice feeling to know that everyone's busy. Everybody we're doing work right now for and growing that every day are also really solid and doing some hiring and expanding, and it's a really a good feeling to know that folks have an opportunity to be out there working. And we really, you can look over, you can see the gloves. We have at least 10 more, at least 10 more full carts of those to do. We've got, like I said, we've got a long list of work to be done for a long, long time, and it's great. We're blessed to be able to have that.
Now, you had mentioned that you build pallets, and I'm seeing some wood stacked up. Uh-huh. Tell me a little bit about the pallet operation.
That's the last place we're going to go into. I'm going to take you into the wood shop they're actually building today, but what you're seeing out here in our upper warehouse is we have, as I mentioned, contracts with folks that we build pallets for, and we know their lengths that they use, and they have to be certain lengths and certain sizes, so they're with their customers, the racking's why that is. People always ask what their product goes on, but when you rack and store things in a warehouse, it's everything here is a kind of a domino effect on the next step. So we want to be meaningful and appreciative of that. But these have been cut to length, so we order in bulk lumber, and then we don't order pre-cut, but then we cut that lumber to service our contracts, and then after we've cut it, then we assemble it.
Okay.
So before we leave the recycling area, I just wanted to mention and give thanks. There's an annual conference, it's called MORA, and it's the Missouri Organization Recycling Association. And they have a conference annually. It's always in September. And this year it's in Blue Springs. Last year it was in Springfield. But this year I was just notified that we are going to be receiving an award for Outstanding Nonprofit for our recycling efforts, and not only the numbers, but the different commodities that we take. And that will be taking place mid-September. I believe it's the 14th. They'll be handing out those awards. And so I'm very proud of my team because we are, it's called the Outstanding Nonprofit Recycler for the year. And we are the recipient of that this year. And so that I'm very, very, very proud of our staff and our certified employees for getting us at that level where we're recognized, not only at the state, but at the federal. Those go down as a recording, and it's recording of what we're doing. And we know we're traced through the environmental industries in different places. And we're really making a mark. We're really making a mark out there.
That's excellent. That's something to certainly be proud of.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
One of the reasons that we wanted to focus on Nokomo Industries for the month of October is because it has been designated as a Disabilities Awareness Month. Is that correct?
That is correct. The whole month of October has been dedicated as Disability Awareness Month. And that is not only just for sheltered workshops, but that's for anybody with any type of disability, just to make people more aware and more sensitive, and hopefully to be more willing for inclusion and realize that there may be need some adaptations made for that inclusion to happen, but just to let people know that people that have disabilities, that they're people that are included, we want included, they're not forgotten, and make us more aware if we are not diagnosed with a disability, that those folks are very, very much a part of our community and should be.
As we moved out of the recycling and warehouse areas, our next stop was the wood shop, where they build pallets for various customers. As we'll learn, this is a very highly skilled job within the organization, but keep in mind that the work is being done by people who are developmentally disabled. It serves as a reminder that there is a spectrum of disabilities, and an employer like Nokomo is a place where people of various abilities and skills can find meaningful work that suits them.
worst part here, and I apologize for the noise, is our actually our wood shop. And I'm very impressed with our wood shop and very proud of our wood shop. It is like any other wood shop, full-fledged factory, kind of little factory of its own, if you will. We do cutting, we do building, we make jigs for the things we do, we design things for people that don't know exactly what they need or want. And we have very skilled laborers out here. You notice we're running saws, we're running guns, we're running notcher down there. These are all equipment that you would find in any sawmill or any workshop, wood shop, anywhere. They're the very same tools, and you have to have the very same skills to run them.
Let's take a look at how this process works.
Okay.
Smells good in here too.
I know, and I like that cut wood. We take our sawdust. People use our sawdust for a filler for some of their farms and things, so it's even recycled.
And that's a common theme that we see through all the industry that we do, is recycling, reusing. Nothing goes to waste.
Nothing goes to waste. Our actual trash is very, very minimal. Very minimal. So right now what we have a couple of fellas doing here is, as I talked about our bulk wood, is cutting these down to length to be able to get them ready for another set or two sets of folks to build some actual finished pallets, if you will. The machine back there in the left corner, we're very proud and happy of that too. We received a grant on that, and that actually is a notcher. And a notcher is where, if you build a pallet, it's so that the forks on the truck can go all four ways. So we notch our own pallets as well. In the last two or three years, as we put in industrial dust collectors. The notcher has to have one all of its own because it notches so quickly. And this one here, we can take those and we can turn them onto different machines. And so it's all about the health and safety of our employees and the environment, that we have minimal that actually falls on the ground.
Well, and speaking of environment, just a couple of observations. Number one, it's incredibly clean. I can tell that this is a very safe environment for people to work in, considering the fact that they're working around dangerous equipment. So, very safe environment. It's very clean. I can see that every day they clean up anything that hits the floor.
You know, health and safety, and that's when we talked earlier about when I first got here, that had to be our number one. And we will not, and some people didn't understand that because of happened to make some big changes. It's nothing that shouldn't have never been in place, but that was our number one, that was our focus, to get this place cleaned up, make it safe, make it healthy, make it to be a place people wanted to be, not a place they had to be. And I'm blessed to say, and very happy and proud of the people that's contributed to that, say we're there and we're not going back.
As we left the wood shop, we walked through the break room where the employees were having their lunch. They all lit up when Nikki entered the room and were excited to have visitors. Many of them greeted her as we walked through. Hanging in the entrance that is adjacent to the break room was a special proclamation that Nikki had asked Governor Jay Nixon to sign. I asked Nikki to tell me about it.
A few years ago, we wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of what we do, and that is that we are a sheltered workshop, employ people with numerous different disabilities. So I took the initiative and got a hold of Governor Nixon and asked him if he would be willing to actually sign a proclamation saying that our workshop and all workshops in the state of Missouri, and the day that the Senate bill started, and there's several different things in here, but the gist of it was that we wanted to identify that within that October month, recognizing those with disabilities, that Governor Nixon would make a proclamation sign, and it gave it to us, saying that we have a Disability Community Employment Week, which is the third week in October. So it not only is it the month of, but it's something special for those that are working with disabilities and contributing. And we were very fortunate and blessed that Governor Nixon was very excited about doing that for us and did, and we hang it proudly here in our front entrance for everybody to see. Something else that we did that
that's really pretty neat I'd like to explain to you is that we're the Nokomo team, and you'll hear me refer to that quite a bit, because disability is what gets you through the doors as a certified employee, but it's not what keeps you here. Focus on your skills, what keeps you here and keeps you productive and dignifiedly employed. But one of the first things I did within my first couple months is here is we established an actual logo. And we, every committee that we have, certified employees serve on those committees as well. It's not staff or board decisions. It's all about who we work for and what we do. And this is the logo that we came up with for Nokomo. It was kind of funny because at first everybody wanted to be the Bearcats. So we had to have a little bit, because we love our Bearcats, but we had to have a little bit of discussion on the difference between a mascot and an actual company logo. But this is what we actually drew, and I drew it for us, and it's where you see the bumps where they all connect. Those are supposed to be our heads, and that's supposed to be us connecting as a team.
Okay.
And what we focus on is that no matter what you do for the team, every part of what we do here is important, and you're a valued part of the Nokomo team. So I sign everything the Nokomo team. We tell people we're the Nokomo team when we introduce them, and then you'll hear some of the employees say, this is what I do for the Nokomo team. And that's been very refreshing. Everybody likes to be included and appreciated, and I'm proud to say that I think that that is exactly what's going on here.
As we wrapped up our tour, the final story that Nikki shared with us was about their conference table. As she mentioned earlier, Nokomo is governed by a board of directors, and a few years back, the employees made a conference table out of pallet material. The craftsmanship that went into the table is outstanding, but what makes it even more special are a few of the other parts that were donated by local businesses. For instance, Maryville Glass and Lock donated the large piece of glass for the top, and KFC donated the base and the legs from the tables that were being replaced in the restaurant. Again, nothing goes to waste, and the community is very supportive of Nokomo Industries. It's a very special place that is full of people that are given the chance every day to live up to their potential and do meaningful work. If you'd like to learn more about Nokomo, visit their website at nokomo.org. I'd like to thank my guest this month, Nikki Sampson, General Manager of Nokomo Industries in Maryville, Missouri. Join us next month as we travel to the small town of Hopkins, Missouri, to the J.L. Houston Company. I'll visit with Company Chairman and President Ron Houston to learn about the company and how they make steel storage containers for the petroleum and chemical industries. We'll also visit with their sister company, Houston Polytank, maker of plastic storage tanks. We'll hear about how these tanks are made and where they go when they leave Northwest Missouri. Once again, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next month as we shine the spotlight on industry.
Support for Spotlight on Industry comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, and the City of Maryville. More information on all of our sponsors is available at MarylandMO.org. Spotlight on Industry is a production of KXCV-KRNW and Northwest Missouri State University. Our editor and producer is Karen Lawrence. For more information about how your company can be featured on Spotlight on Industry, please contact Sam Mason at 660-562-1163.